Hey gang, welcome to National Bugle Radio, another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. I always promise you it's going to be exciting, and I think it's pretty exciting. National Bugle Radio, I'm sitting here with my dad's root beer. Why dad's? Well, look it up on the Kosher-tified app. Look it up under beverages. See whether or not it's kosher, because because you get to choose. It's your freedom of choice, whether you want to keep kosher or not. I think it's something we all should think about. Look it up at thekosherquestion.com. I used to refer you to Kosher-tified, but that's a little hard to spell. Thekosherquestion.com. Thekosherquestion.com. So today I will be taking callers. That number is at RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. I'm going to start off today. Excuse me. I should have had my water handy before I started. Well, I want to start off today looking at a few news stories. There's one. This comes from Breitbart News. A majority, this is a poll taken in France, and it was a poll that was commissioned by a Jewish student organization. The majority say Zionism is a Jewish conspiracy. Well, we're usually told about Zionism that it is a movement of national return next year in Jerusalem. It's a nationalist movement. It's just Jewish nationalism or Israeli nationalism. And we are told, at least by some, to equate Zionism with Israel. It's all about Israel. And of course, excuse me again, we hear things on other sides saying that, well, it's wrong to conflate Zionism with Israel because I don't know, whatever. And I've always said that Zionism goes way beyond Israel, and that the top, you could call it Zionist if you want, but the top priority, the top Jewish priority, isn't even Israel so much. It's what's good for the Jews. Well, Israel's good for the Jews, but it's not the only thing that's good for the Jews. And, you know, what else is good for the Jews? Well, our next story. The next story from the Daily Mail. Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich can enter the UK after being granted Israeli citizenship following British visa holdup. Okay, so you have this supposed Russian oligarch. He's Jewish, a Jewish Russian oligarch. And he owns a football club, a soccer team in England. And for whatever reason, the British weren't all that keen on renewing his visa to be in Britain. But never mind, Israel steps in there and they give him Israeli citizenship, which any person of who can identify one Jewish grandparent or Jewish parent or spouse can get upon application to an Israeli embassy. So this is what he did. And what comes with Israeli citizenship? All sorts of things, like visa-free entry into the UK. So, unlike a Russian goyim, he can go into the UK pretty much without asking. Now, the UK does keep people out. If they don't want somebody in, I don't know about David Duke. I think Don Black is not allowed into England. Not that he's trying to get there, but. So that's something that comes with it. And why would Israel care? Why would the Zionists care? Well, it is a Zionist interest to have elites in all of the Jewish elites, Zionist elites in all of the main Western countries. And you don't have to have a very high percentage. You know, we in the United States will often say, well, Jews only are 2% of the population. That's actually a very high percentage of the population. If you go outside Israel, that 2% is probably, I'm pretty confident, it's the highest percentage of Jews in any country. Russia used to have, or the Soviet Union had a pretty high percentage, but so many of them went to Israel that they lost that high, relatively high percentage. When I talk about relatively high, I'm talking about 2 or 3%. But even the small number that remained are able to, if not dominate Russia the way they dominate other countries, to remain very influential. And of course, you look at countries like Canada or the UK, where the Jewish population is well below 1% of the population, and they still manage to effectively control, or at least, I shouldn't say effectively control, but dominate, maintain a veto on issues of great importance, and have the government pursue top Jewish priorities, such as massive immigration, large-scale immigration, such as wars for Israel, sanctions against the enemies of Israel, sanctions against the enemies of diaspora Jews. Who is the big enemy of the diaspora Jews? It is Satan reincarnate, President Vladimir Putin. And so you've got all of these Western countries who are cooperating with sanctions against Russia, even though it's very much against the economic interests of so many European countries. So you've got a whole bunch of this going on. What else do we have in the news that's interesting? We have, let's see here, where's a good one? Oh, Roseanne Barr. This is kind of funny. Roseanne Barr is in the midst of racist tweet storm about the Clintons, George Soros, and Chris Salitza, who is a CNN guy. She apparently suggested that Chelsea Clinton's husband was a nephew of George Soros. I think incorrectly suggested this, but this is kind of interesting because Roseanne Barr is a Jew, and she's actually a Zionist Jew. But what do we make of somebody like her? And I invite my callers, what do we make of somebody like her? A Jewish woman who is going to go, nominally support Donald Trump, or, you know, produce TV programs that seem to be favorable to him, that seem to be, you know, the white working class, and then condemn, you know, the boogeyman George Soros, and there's much to condemn there. Of course, why is George Soros a problem? I mean, what is he pursuing? He's pursuing very much a Jewish agenda. And I say a, if you say a Jewish agenda, it implies that there's more than one. And indeed, I don't know, there are certainly multiple Jewish priorities. So I mentioned support for Israel. I mentioned large-scale immigration into Western countries. And, you know, of course, you could put in all sorts of other things, a lot of other things that have to do with the demographic decline of the traditional stock of the European, the white countries. And so represses their reproduction? Well, homosexuality and transgenderism and all of this. You know, you've got as a Jewish priority the shaming of whites into thinking that they have undeserved privilege that they've been mean and racist to everyone else and don't deserve what they have. This kind of demoralization of whites, the promotion of drug use. If you watch Saturday Night Live over the years, you've seen plenty of this promotion of homosexuality, promotion of black men as the ideal, as some sort of ideal, which is odd. You know, it's like promoting texting while driving as the ideal driving, because far more, if you are a woman involved with a black man, whether you're a black woman involved with a black man or a white woman involved with a black man, your odds of dying from either disease or violence from your partner, and it doesn't give me any pleasure to say this, are a lot higher than your odds of dying because you're texting while driving. I mean, that if you are a young woman, if you're in the, I guess, 30, you know, 18 to 30 demographic, that's your number one risk of death, of death in those age, that age group, is from violence or disease from your black boyfriend, if you are involved in it with a black boyfriend or husband. Usually it's going to be boyfriend. So these are Jewish agenda items. So you have somebody like Roseanne Barr, and you could say, well, I mean, some people would say, look, she's talking out against George Soros. That's a good thing. But on the other hand, isn't it, you know, she's not calling this a Jewish agenda. It's, you know, it kind of shifts the blame to, you know, one bad apple, George Soros, or the liberals. You know, it's a liberal thing. And it's particularly useful for somebody who herself is Jewish to come out and do battle with another Jewish individual, because then it obfuscates the whole the tribal aspect of this, that what you have, and this is something that takes a while to understand, that you have to have, because of the conditioning and the brainwashing that we're subject to and the misinformation, it really takes a while to wrap your head around the idea that you have a Jewish elite that is paranoid enough, or whether it's paranoia or it's something else, sees the existence of white populations in white countries, coherent white populations, as an existential threat to them. You know, part of this is they believe their Holocaust narrative and divorce it from everything else that ever happened in history. It's over and above everything else that ever happened in history, and they repress all the information, you know, regardless of what you think the actual events of the what's known as the Holocaust, regardless of what you think of those actual events. There were, in the decades preceding that, all sorts of reasons why Jewish behavior would have provoked animosity among the people of Europe, in particular Eastern Europe. But that's always left aside. So this Jewish elite views a cohesive white population in the countries that they live in as an existential threat. And so for several decades, has been trying to subvert that the cohesiveness and the integrity of that population by importing massive numbers of non-Jews, by, I'm sorry, the massive numbers of non-whites, in order to reduce the white percentage of the population, by creating all sorts of divisions within the white population, gender divisions through feminism, generation gap, you know, that's been another one. Promotion of homosexuality, which not only does it repress reproduction, but it it's another cleavage along which society can divide itself or can be divided. And transgenderism, all sorts of things, through really attacking the integrity of the population through drugs and through pornography, through trashy culture, whether it's, you know, the trashy Hollywood culture, whether it's trashy music, that they see this as being in their interest. And you see the decline and the decay. They've been having great success with this. And it seemed as if a few, maybe 3 years ago or so, it seemed as if they were poised for their final victory. But there has been, and let's hope it's not too little too late, but there has been large numbers of people who are coming out and realizing what's going on. There's an awakening, and it's manifested itself in a few ways. We've talked about the Brexit vote. We've talked about Donald Trump's election. Now, so far, the hoped-for fruits of those two elections have not been achieved. But the fact that over the very stiff Jewish opposition that Brexit was voted for, that Donald Trump was elected, it shows that the Jewish elite is vulnerable, that it's not all powerful. And even though we haven't gotten what we thought we were going to get through those elections, rather than being black-pilled by that, we have to be so-called white-pilled, that we've been able to achieve at least some near-term goals. And so we have to keep resetting our goals. And, you know, I mean, I know there are people who think Donald Trump is hopeless, but imagine if Hillary had been elected. Talk about a hopeless situation. And I've always been of the opinion and remain of the opinion that Donald Trump's going to wind up being what we can make of him. And that doesn't mean that we should all go MAGA and support everything he does. We should be very outspoken when he's doing the wrong things. But he is an opportunity for us. So if you want to call me, my number is going to be 313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And we can talk about this. What's ahead? Are we making progress? Are we falling behind? What do these various news stories mean for us? I think there is a great deal of potential. I think we are at a tipping point in human history, the history of Western civilization. But, you know, without Western civilization, what's going to happen to humanity? And I oppose Jewish control and Jewish domination, not be out of any dislike for Jews. If I thought they were going to do a good job as chaperones, as people who are managing society, I'd be all for it. But they're not. They've been a very destructive force and continue to be so. Okay, more after the break.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Welcome back to National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and North Korean bumper music. We can talk about North Korea maybe a little bit later. For those who don't think that this really matters, here's one other recent story. Israel launches airstrikes on Gaza after a barrage of mortar shells fired at Israel. Netanyahu says retaliation imminent. That's from Zero Hedge. I'm not sure where the original reporting came from. We saw earlier this month on the same day that Princess Shiksa, Ivanka Trump, was over in Jerusalem christening the new, I shouldn't say christen because that sounds Christian, the new American embassy in Jerusalem. Dedicating it, that's the word, dedicating the new embassy in Jerusalem. While she was doing that, not far away at the defense or wall, the prison wall that imprisons, encircles Gaza. When I say encircle, you know, there's the majority of the land borders with Israel. You have a very short border with Egypt, but that's walled off also. And then the Israeli Navy patrols the coastline so that no boats from Gaza can go more than 2 miles off the shore. And, of course, the Gaza airport's long since been bombed out. So it's encircled, it's prisoned. And just having Palestinian protesters near the fence was cause for Israelis to shoot dead 61 in one day. And they've been, of course, excuse me, tormenting and otherwise attacking Gazans. It's been going on for months, of course, for years, but the more recent upswing has been these past several months. And what happens the next day after shooting dead 61 and injuring over 2,000 others?
you've got Nikki Haley out saying, well, any country would do the same thing. Any country would defend itself. This is self-defense. From kite-flying Palestinians. They were armed with rocks and kites. And, of course, what you had had just days earlier was Hondurans trying to rush into the United States, a country that they have absolutely no connection to, that their ancestors probably hadn't been in the United States since they had passed through that part of North America over 10,000-15,000 years ago on their way to on their way south, probably even longer than that, who knows. They have no connection to the country, and the idea is if they can just set one foot on American soil, then we have to keep them, because that's our current policy with non-Mexicans, is you can't send Hondurans back to Mexico, even if they came from Mexico, even if they entered across the Mexican border, because they're not Mexicans, so you can't send them back to Mexico. So you have to let them in and give them a court appearance date, and then just expect them to show up 6 months later. And, you know, if they're young, you might even just give them a ride to Columbus, Ohio, or wherever their gang is waiting for them. And it's been the insane policy that we've had, and yet that is our policy. Yet Nikki Haley says that shooting anybody who comes near the border, near the border fence, like Israel does, any country would do that, but any country doesn't, and any country couldn't. So massive hypocrisy and double standards, and that she would say this on, you know, the same week that we had this this caravan approach or the border with San Diego, it leads to Goyim knowing. And so no wonder that you're starting to have this shown up in polls. Now, the poll that I was quoting from earlier was a French poll, but more and more you're having people understanding. This is why you had Alex Jones earlier this month start indicating that, there are a lot of Jews. There is a kind of Jewish domination. He's starting to, because he has to, if he doesn't start admitting some of these things that are becoming so obvious to his audience, then he becomes irrelevant. And plus, he was being demonetized. So what's the point of carrying water for the Zionists and making everybody think that the real issue is chemtrails or whatever. I think I might have an Alex Jones frog in my throat today. That's kind of scary. What's the point in doing that? So, and he's somebody who very likely was in it from the money from the get-go. And if the money's not going to be there, well, why not? So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about increased levels of Goyim knowing. We're talking about cognitive dissonance becoming impossible to ignore. We're talking about Western civilization really being at a tipping point and a final Jewish takeover at the expense of the traditional populations of North America and Europe. I think it's the end of Western civilization. What do you think? Okay, I'll be back after the break with more of National Bugle Radio. By the way, that number, 1-800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to National Bugle Radio. I like that music. I would like to let it continue for a while, but National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN.org. And you can go to RBN.org and click on the donate button and send shekels. Number here, if you want to talk about anything, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. And we have Tony from Chicago. Tony, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Dr. Slattery. Yeah, as far as any breakthrough is concerned, you know, against the ruling Jew World Order goes, I mean, we had one or have had one of sorts in Italy. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you saw what happened today, that the GEU has tried to throw a monkey wrench in this thing. Seems like the situation over there is still fluid. I mean, this new government that wants to deport 500,000 Africans, it's not going to get seated. Okay, the you know, this leftist party or Democratic Party, whatever you want to call it, you know, who the president of the country is, who refused to, you know, seat this government. Okay, they tried to make up some type of caretaker government today, and that didn't work, so we're looking at elections in 8 to 9 weeks, new elections over there. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. Personally, what I'd like to see is, let's face it, these guys won fair and square, and I would like to see them come up with some type of some type of deal that they come out and say that this whole deal of not seating them is totally unconstitutional, and I'd like to, you know, see the Italian military just go in there and arrest these people that are stopping this thing and unseat this government. Okay, that's what I'd like to see. But, you know, that's just my opinion. Okay, because really give it to these EU Jews. Say, hey, look, this is fair and square, and you can stick it, and this is what you're going to get. And to put a straight-out military challenge to the City of London, the Crown Corporation, and the EU, and that's all one and the same. And that's really who ultimately is ruling over us. It's the City of London Crown Corporation, and that's who rules over us. I mean, it doesn't you take it one step, and that is a fact. That's who's ruling over the world. Anyway, as far as this country goes, I mean, I don't see that we're anywhere close to a breakthrough. They said Trump was supposed to be the breakthrough, and up to now that has not happened. We do have these four congressional races. Okay. In a week, you have Patrick Little. I know you had him on the show.
A few times, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. I have a hard time believing, okay, that they're going to let this guy come in second, okay, with you know, the integrity of the electoral system in that state is just, it's a total joke. I mean, we all know that. We saw what happened in the presidential election a couple years ago. I mean, yeah, going on, believe it or not, it's going on a year and a half ago, okay. The number of illegals registered to vote there is just beyond comprehension. And
well, and it's not just illegals. Foreigners,
sure,
who are here legally are not allowed to vote either.
Sure.
It's not loose.
The state's full of them. I mean, it's just totally overrun. So I have a hard time believing they're going to let that guy come in number two. I just have a hard time. But, you know, we'll see. And then we have Paul Nealon. Up in first district of Wisconsin. Now, unfortunately, he's still in there. He's not unopposed. There's three guys that have signed up against him in the Republican primary. I don't know if you're aware of that. I don't think you are, because I listen to Stormfront. No one's talking about it. He's not unopposed. He has three challengers that have signed up.
Right.
The filing deadline is, I think it's the 4th or the 5th, June 4th or the 5th.
And when is the primary?
August. I don't know the exact date. In 2016, it was August 4th or something like that. I assume it's the same. You can look that up.
I think it's in August.
He's had a little snafu. I hate to mention this, but it's if you go on the computer, it's publicized up there. So I'm not dumping on the guy. I don't know why he did what he did. It's totally legal, but he's been paying his wife $1,000 a week for the last quarter or so. And I don't know what the rationale. Did you not hear about that?
No, it's not unusual. It's not at all.
It's out of his campaign funds. Well, look at in 2016, he spent $100,000 of his own money on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think this guy is worth a few million bucks minimum. He, you know, I think you know you've looked into him. He has a bunch of patents and machine tools. The guy's a brain. And he's very talented, so I think he's just living off his royalty. I don't know why he did it, but it just doesn't. It's not good because people look at that. You're giving your wife $1,000 a week. Why should I contribute to you? Even so, I'm wondering if he's trying to get his money back from 2016 because he did cough up $100,000 of his own money. Okay, he did. That's a fact. So I don't know why he did that. I'm still for the guy. I will contribute to him. I'm waiting
Maybe his wife is actually working for the campaign. Is there some indication that she's not?
Well, that's what he says, but I just don't think it looks good. It's just stupid. The guy's worth a few million bucks. He could be worth 4 or 5 million. We don't know what he's worth. Why is he doing something like that? It just doesn't look good for people contributing. You understand what I'm saying? People, it's like, why am I contributing to this guy when he's paying his wife $1,000 a week? And maybe I probably shouldn't have brought this up, but it's all over the internet up there. I'm still 100% for the guy.
Well, okay? I will say looking at various incumbent Congress people's FEC filings, this is not unusual. It's not unusual to employ family members in campaigns. And you think back to, for instance, John F. Kennedy. I mean, his campaign was for early on, like for his congressional and Senate campaigns, his family worked plenty on them. They were family affairs. I don't know if Paul Nealon's wife was actually working for the campaign. It wouldn't surprise me at all, and it's not at all unusual to pay family members. It happens all the time.
Okay. Well, like I said, I don't want to waste any more time on that. But a lot of people would look at that and they go, well, why should I send them money? But I don't want to people. All right, now we have Steve and Tyler down in that Tennessee district. Unfortunately, he's only going to be an independent. So it's a good thing he's doing what he's doing. You know, he's been on Stormfront a couple times. It's a good thing what he's doing. But let's face it, I don't think he has a chance of getting more than what he got last time, which is 1% or 2%, and maybe he'll get a few more. It's a rural, almost 100% white district, and it is a third party run. And then we have, but I commend him for his effort, and I support what he's doing. I contributed to him last time, and I'll do it again this year. And then we have Art Jones here in Cook County. I was out with him on Saturday on the side of the road. He was holding up his banner, and he was handing out flyers to the sheeple in this district. Now, you haven't had him on, so
I'd be happy to. When's his primary?
He's the Republican nominee. His primary's over with. He's a Republican nominee against this guy named Lipinski. Okay. And his primary's over. He's in there as a Republican. And what's so comical about this? If you search that guy, Art Jones, and then you go Holocaust denier, okay, Congress. I think on Saturday night on Yahoo, I got up to 50 pages where I just couldn't click the mouse anymore. It's just incredible how the big deal they're making about this guy all over the world. Okay. I really do think Mossad is watching him, okay? They're wondering about this guy, whether he has a chance in this district. I mean, this has huge national, international, implications.
Well, you said he's in Cook County. What kind of district is it? What are the demographics?
Well, I looked at it in detail. I'm in the district right here. I'm a Floridian, okay? But I'm up here because of an elderly parent. I'm going to be helping him. I've been helping him in the campaign. It's about 41% white, 15% Arab, which, believe it or not, probably about 80-something percent of those people are white. I don't know where. I mean, their skin color is white. They're Semitic white. They're not. Their mindset is not European.
So when you
white.
Say Arab, are you talking about Lebanese and Syrian? What are you talking about?
I don't know. What
people who people who were like more or less Ellis Island era or what? Recent
no,
immigrants?
Brand newbies. Oh, they're newbies. They're flooding in the district. Patrick, I don't know who these people are. A lot of them are Syrian. A lot of them are on the far left. They're opening up stores. It's turning into there's areas of the district. It's looking like a Dearborn, Michigan. Okay.
Having the so-called Holocaust deniers not necessarily going to be, a bad thing.
They'll go for them. We're going to concentrate on them. Then we have like about 31% Mexican, Hispanic, whatever you want to call them. And that's a wild card. They're Catholic. They're pro Jesus Christ. Okay, and he has a flyer that that features the Israelis machine gunning a statue of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. I think it was 1992. They blew the crap out of it. It's all over. He shows it in pieces. This is something that's part of history. And that's right there. So I don't know how he'll do with those people. Then you have about 5-6% black, which we're just going to totally forget about because we're not going in those neighborhoods. It's like a little corridor, and then there's a little area black and whatever, especially what Farrakhan said this last week about wanting to get rid of white men. I'm just not worried. It's not going to be bothered with them. They're about 5.5% of the district. And then the rest is just, I don't know what, Oriental, mixed race. The district voted, believe it or not, in the Democratic primary. I forgot the Jew's name. Not Hillary. Who was the Jew running against them? The senator.
Sanders.
I'm on the
Sanders.
Well,
Sanders.
Yeah, I voted for Sanders. So yeah, believe me, the white population. Yeah, but see, none of this really matters because, like I said, it's who shows up at the polls. Okay. So who's in the district, the body count, and actually who comes out and votes? This is two different worlds, all right? you know, the white people basically are left wing to just dumb down sports fan idiots. And I mean, it's a fact. I mean, it's demeaning what I say, but it's the truth. The truth is the truth. Okay, okay, that's what they are. So yeah, there are some that have it together, and so that's where we're at on this thing. But it's going to be a low turnout. I bet you the turnout will be less than 30% on a midterm. And but the race does have national implications. Anyway, guy's very articulate guy, so you might want to consider having him on one of these days. He'd be happy to get on, and you know, he needs to raise some funds. But definitely, we're going to do some flyering. We'd like to do a lot of robocalls, and he definitely gets the Jews' blood. Their blood boiling. He does. And he does that. And he knows how to do it.
You ever talk to him personally?
What do you mean? I've been working with him on the campaign.
Okay.
I was out with him on Saturday. I've been working with him on the campaign. I was downtown with him, NBC. He was in the NBC. They were in New York. They were in Chicago. And then they went out to do Patrick Little. I was with him there. I've been with him. I'm a contributor. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I more than know him. I'm working with him.
Okay, great.
I want to do a lot. I want to do a lot of work. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'll try to reach out to him. You can let him know. I'll try to reach out to him if you think he'd be interested in coming on the show, and we can talk about things.
He definitely will. Okay, I really appreciate the call, and I'll get him in touch with you then. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, well, that should be interesting. So, yeah, there are developments, and while we don't necessarily expect to have a landslide victory in America in the 2018 midterm elections, just to have voices out there and to use elections as one more platform, it can be very, very useful. As for Italy, I'm not an expert in what's going on in Italy, so maybe I'll refrain comment, but it does seem that you've had I guess the EU and certainly the financial markets have been trying to punish Italy for its election. And, of course, we've seen this that script in American history. And you can think of David Duke's runs for Senate and the governorship in the early 1990s. And you had, you had the American Medical Association threaten to cancel their big convention in New Orleans, in which would impact, you know, hotels, restaurants, even cab drivers. So they'll pull out those stops. While we still have a few minutes, and I don't have another caller at this point, I would like to shift a little bit to Korea, because that is something I have more of a background in. And of course, you recently had President Trump, I guess it was last week, state that he was canceling his June 12th meeting in Singapore with Korean revered Supreme Commander. That's the title. Revered Supreme Commander Kim Jong-un. And then within 24 hours, implying, well, maybe we'll go forward. And what you've seen since then, you saw the president of South Korea, Moon Jae-in, have a surprise meeting with Kim Jong-un. And you've got a high-ranking North Korean official who's coming to New York, who was on a plane from Beijing to New York. You've got meetings going on. So actually, it looks like something might go forward. So what's that all about? I do think that, and this is kind of conventional wisdom, I do think that it was John Bolton really tried to scuttle this meeting. Even though Korea isn't at the top of the Jewish agenda, North Korea, there's, you know, it's got some sort of trading relationship with Iran, and potentially Syria, but with Iran. And North Korea's got very good technology, obviously. So that puts, remember, it was the Jew David Frum who wrote the speech for President Bush in the wake of 9/11, placing North Korea inexplicably in the axis of evil with Iran and Iraq. Okay, we will talk more about this.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks.
Radio. I just want to take these last few minutes to finish my thoughts on what's going on in Korea. I've said this before on the show. It's been a long time goal of the North Korean leadership to have face-to-face, one-on-one meetings with the American leadership. To have a Kim-Trump summit would be the culmination of a long-term goal. And why? Well, there's some prestige there, propaganda, you know, for internal use to show the North Korean population that Kim and Trump are equals, that North Korea really is it's a great power and it's can sit down one on one with the Americans. Now, of course, Hondurans can sit down one on one with Americans too. So it really doesn't prove it, but North Korea is very isolated society. So it's always been a goal. And then, of course, it's always the North Koreans have always felt that, well, you have to that the United States is hostile, and they've got good reason to think that, and that It doesn't make sense to have any kind of resolution that doesn't directly involve the Americans. But, you know, I think there might be some new thinking going on. South Korea has been very divided over the past several years, and you see this in their presidential elections since they went to their current system in 1988. You see it's been going back and forth between presidents who are pretty hostile to North Korea and, you know, want close military alliance with the United States, and those who are more open to North Korea. And during the time that George W. Bush was president of the United States, you had a president, Nomu Hyun. It's always the Koreans, for whatever reason, the South Koreans always spell their names in Roman letters in a way that doesn't actually match the way they pronounce it. So president, it's always spelled R-O-H, Roe, but his name was Nomu Hyun. And he was very open to North Korea, but he had a very tenuous grip on power himself. He was there were impeachment proceedings. His power was removed for a few months, got it back. But, you know, this was during the Bush administration, and the North Koreans didn't they had progress with him, but it wasn't as if they felt that they could settle this with him. Then you had 9 years with these two presidents. Lee Myung-bak, Lee Myung-bak is how you really say it, and Park Geun-hye, who was recently impeached last year. And they were very hostile to the North. Now you've got this Moon Jae-in, who is very open to the North. But you also have in Washington at least a president, not necessarily an administration, but a president who seems to be more hands-off about you know, the idea of less committed to the idea of having a permanent troop position in East Asia. And I think that the thinking in North Korea might be, you know, we can actually have a deal with the South. And then what are the Americans going to do about it? The South for years had, you know, their military had been under American command for years. It's not like that anymore. And so you might get some new thinking that the North and the South can come to an agreement, and the United States won't have any choice other than to ratify it. We'll see, but I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.